It's a very simple question. Do you sell your pots and pans to the guy when you sell your chametz, or are you not selling them? And if you do sell them, when you get them back, do you need to do a tefillas kelim? Do you need to dip them in the mikvah, just as if you purchase any other kli? I'm assuming the kli is of the material, metal, whatever it is, that you would normally do tefillah. Same way you buy it from a store, you need to do tefillah. So do you buy it from an achri? After Pesach, you buy it back. Why should you not have to do tefillah? This is a relatively simple chabura. There's either two answers, yes or no. So we'll start with the language of Rebbe Willig, my Rebbe Shtar, I guess, whet our appetite, no pun intended about wetting, you know, the kelim over here, but it will give us the language of the Shtar, and Rebbe Arieli just confirmed, of course, that's what his Shtar is, a similar concept. It's to lease all places in which chametz owned by me may be found. Obviously, you're selling the chametz itself, but at the end, you have this provision that to lease all places in which chametz owned by me may be found. It doesn't say anything about kelim. Other shtaros have a similar language, we'll see, about any chametz, whatever it is, even if in kelim, but you're not renting or selling in many shtaros the actual utensil itself. Okay. Comes along the Chassam Sofer. That's the background. Comes along, I'll give you the answer before I gave you the question. But comes along the Chassam Sofer and says, someone wrote to him that his shtar included that you're selling all metaltolin that has chametz. In other words, any utensil or strollers have sometimes have chametz and other metaltolin that you would think, any movable object which has chametz in it. And he writes, that's ridiculous, he says. This language, she'etik ma'aloso, shamachol metaltolin, every single movable object that you have in your rooms. He says, lo ivanti, says the Chassam Sofer. I don't understand that. Kilo iskir b'shadar shem chametz kval. You're not talking about the chametz, you're just talking about the movable objects. He says, v'zeh lo talking kval. This is not correct. Why? To imkain, because if you sell the kli, kol kli matechas, any metal kli, tzrichim tvila achar Pesach. You're going to have to do tvila on the kli after Pesach, when you buy it back. He says, therefore, he says, the proper language which you should have, which he got from his Rebbe, Rav Nosson Adler, is she'eno mocher ela hachametz hanidbak bedofnei hakelim, velo hakelim atzmo. You're selling, as Rabbi Eli said, he does also, you sell the kelim, you sell the chametz, rather, in the kelim, that's attached to the kelim, the crud at the bottom of your kelim. Hopefully you don't have too much of that. Hopefully you wash it well. But invariably, there's always going to be some, you know, piece of pasta which is stuck to the bottom of your kli, no matter how hard you've tried to get it out after 1,000 pasta makings. And that piece of pasta is pure chametz. And so says the Chassam Sofer, you therefore sell that little piece of pasta, but you're not selling the kli, which is holding the pot, which is holding that piece of pasta. That's what the Chuvas van Hugus writes as well, based on this Chassam Sofer. The Chachma Sadam writes as well. He says, Yisrael shamachr kelev akum, you sell your kelim to a guy, v'chazer v'lokach mimenu, and then you now buy him back. So if you happen to sell your kelim, you didn't come to Vashir, and you thought that you were writing, when you itemize your objects to the Rav, you write, all my kelim. He says, v'fizek shamachr ayoros, when they sold these big pots to the akum, b'arif Pesach, mishum chametz, tzarek tvila achar Pesach. You need to do tefillah after Pesach, and therefore he says it's better not to actually sell the kli itself. Now, the Chazan Ish had an interesting story, which I guess if you're the Chazan Ish, you probably didn't have as many kelim as even this neighborhood. It's not, Baruch Hashem, not so fancy like some other neighborhoods, but still, I imagine the Chazan Ish didn't even have a fifth of the kelim that we have in our house, and therefore the Chazan Ish used to do like this. It's brought down that Sipurli, that the Chazan Ish told him, Bishnei Marishonos, in his early years, he used to go, Lavo Arta Shomar Chaznish. They have this person who's writing the story about the Chaznish. He used to go to him and he used to see the Chaznish would Machar B'Machirat Chametz, Gamis HaKeom Shal Chametz. Chaznish would sell all his utensils as well. O Achra Pesach, after Pesach, what would you see when everyone is going to get their pizza? Where was the Chaznish going? To the mikvah. He would dip himself in the mikvah. As the Chazan Ish got older, it became more difficult, obviously, for him to lug around all his pots and his pans, even if there's only a few of them, to the mikvah. It was a big pain, and therefore he wasn't sure how to deal with this kelim. I guess it says he wasn't sure, should he sell the little schmutz at the bottom of your kli or not? Now, what's the problem? What do you lose by just selling every little piece of chametz which is in bottom of my pot? Why don't you just include that in the sale? Chazanish was worried, how much is that little piece of pasta stuck to the bottom of your pot? How much would you buy that for? A cent? I don't know, 100 little pieces of pasta stuck to everyone's pot in the town? 2 cents? Not even. No one would buy that. It's worthless, essentially. So therefore, if you get rid of all your chametz gomer, and all you're selling is chametz, which is in the crud of my pot, the bottom of my pot, that little piece of pasta which is stuck, or the teeny, teeny little piece of bread which is stuck to my toaster, whatever it is, then it's not a sale. You can't sell something like that. And then for Memelo, you end up owning that. So therefore, the argument would be, if you sell the pot with it already, your pot's worth $10, $20. And so therefore, it's maybe better, the Chazanish thought, to actually sell the pot. But keep in mind, so the Chazanish, if you got to do that, then after Pesach, you got to dip it in the mikvah. So the Chazanish originally used to sell the pot. Then when he got older, he wasn't sure what to do. Similarly, the Stipler used to say that he would add in this language, Gama chametz ha-bolua b'kelim, even the chametz that are swallowed up within the pot, mash'efshar limkra al-pidas Torah, whatever you could sell according to Torah law. Now that's a whole discussion, does it go by secular law? Secular law, you could sell something, I believe, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, you could sell something for less than a cent or a penny in secular, you can make a shtar and anything. It's only halacha, it has to be a pruta maybe that the sale would actually work for. So therefore, the stipler would add in this language, anything which could be sold by Torah law, meaning if that piece of pasta in the bottom of your pot stuck there is worth the pruta, I want to sell it. If not, I guess it's I don't know what he did. He said, Masha'ev shalim kral pi divrei Torah, and this is what he would do. Rav Moshe Feinstein was asked this following question in Mesoris Moshe. He said, someone calls Rav Moshe, and he asked Rabbeinu, this is what someone writing about, they witnessed this incident with Rav Moshe. Eich linog, what should we do? We had a stupid rabbi, yeah? It's a really dumb rabbi. He doesn't say that, but that's basically what he's getting at. B'misha'arav, shemocher chemtzo lufnei shana, kosev b'shtar mechirosu anachri, the rabbi wrote in the shtar, shemocher kol akelim. He's selling all the kelim. So the guy calls Rav Moshe, I got a really dumb rabbi. He sold all my chametz and the kelim as well. Now what am I supposed to do? Do I need to do tefillah? Rav Moshe says to him, Shebavade bepashtus yesh chiyuv. Why not? Of course you have to do tefillah's kelim. He sold your kelim. He says, listen to this, the goddess of Rav Moshe. Yesh svara shezek kemechira shal mekach tos. It was a mistake, an error sale. Why? You didn't have to sell it. Ain't sorakinukka, you didn't have to sell the pot. So therefore you ask the balabas, you ask the seller, the owner, if you would have known that you didn't have to sell your pot, would you still have wanted to do the sale? And the answer to that is, no way, Jose. Absolutely not. I don't want to have to lug all my stuff to the mikvah. And then, I don't know, I'm not sure. He says, the im owner shalom, so I guess what Moshe was saying, if you would have known that you were selling the pots as well, I mean, for sure you wanted to sell the little piece of macaroni stuck into the pot. That you're not taking back. But you definitely didn't want to sell your $20, you know, container of it or the pot. For sure not. So therefore Moshe says, it would be a mekach tos. And therefore you could get at it. This is where Moshe wrote them in the state from Masoris Moshe, according to Moshe. So
you have a partial mekach tos?
Apparently, this is the question. I don't know. He doesn't address that. Presumably, yes, you can have a partial. It's two different sales. I want to sell all my chametz, so I want my bread to be sold. I want the macaroni box to be sold. I want the macaroni piece in the bottom of my pan to be sold, the pot. But I don't want the pot to be sold. That shouldn't be included in the sale. No.
But then why do they ever have to specify the chametz in the pot?
So that's a good question. Some shtaros do. It's a whole discussion years ago. We gave a chabur on that. Do you have to actually mention, itemize every item? So some shtaros do, some shtaros don't. Some do like a middle ground, which is probably what most people do.
Isn't it the same thing? You have your chametz in a cabinet.
Right.
And then you seal off yourself. Are you selling the cabinet or the chametz in it?
So the simple answer is you're selling the chametz in it, and as Rabbi Willig wrote, and to lease all places in which chametz owned by me may be found. So you're selling the chametz and you're leasing the cupboard to him, the cabinet. And so same thing over here. Some want to say, you're selling the chametz in the pot. I mean, I'm selling the little macaroni piece, but I'm giving him rights to rent the pot itself. If he rents the pot, it doesn't need tefillah. So you're right. That would be another option out. Says Rabbi Yashiv, this is exactly what we do. You took my next sentence out of my mouth.
Sorry.
That's great. Rabbi Yashiv says, that's when we rent the area of the chametz. We don't sell the area of the chametz. We don't sell the cupboard. We don't sell the cabinet. We don't sell the pan. We just sell the chametz itself. However, just to end, the Aruch HaShulchan writes like this. So I see people, some say that in time of Mechiras Chametz, they sell the pot itself. And then afterwards, they need tefillah because they stole the pot. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, V'lilo niru l'kein. That doesn't make any sense to me. Meshach kol yodin. Every guy knows, she'osim kein mechomer isur chametz. Why are you being so neurotic and selling every single pan in your house to the guy? Why? Because chametz. L'chumra ba'alma. It's just a chumra. To me, Dina ain't over now at Kalim Babal Yirah. You don't really have violate Babal Yirah for the little piece of macaroni, which is teeny, teeny in the pot. He says, Va'kol Yodim, everyone knows Shachra Pesach, Yuchsru Yisrael. Everyone knows after Pesach, he's going to return it. The Lo Nikra Shem Hakusi Alav. The guy never establishes ownership on that pot. And therefore, he says, Olechein Ein Tzarech Tefillah. It doesn't need tefillah when you get it back, which is a radical leniency by the Aruch HaShulchan. If some dope, whereas a dopey rabbi who sells the pot, you could rely perhaps on the Aruch HaShulchan that even though he sold the pot, and legally it's a valid sale, but you knew you were getting it back, it never really was acquired by the guy, he never took possession, and therefore you don't have to do tefillah's kelim. A final interesting line, which goes against the whole Chaznish Stipler line of reasoning, is they asked of Chaim Kanievsky, if you sell the pot, does it need tefillah? And he wrote, lo noagu. That's not the minhag to do tefillah again, which again is a pretty big leniency. Halacha l'maase, I've never seen anyone really do tefillah on the pots other than mischaz and ish. The best thing to do is to specify in the sale, you're only selling the chametz in the pot, and you're leasing the pot, or you don't even have to mention the pot itself, because you're just selling the chametz attached to the pot, or you could say, and the pots itself, or the cabinet, or whatever, will be leased to the guy. Shkoyach.